button, and if we don't
Okay.
have to post this anywhere if you guys don't want to, but
you can post anything I say anytime.
If you were talking about abductions and how you you were talking about regressions and abductions, and my question was, how much of this information do you think is real that these people are getting?
It's only as real as the treatment they're getting is intending it to be, because I've found so many inconsistencies in some of these people say. And of course, you take Travis Walton, for instance. There was a movie made of his abduction, and he came right out and said, you know, nothing in that movie is portraying what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in every case that you have people take anything about this, about their experience, television series or anything, not series, but a television program that examines the paranormal and abduction experiences, and so forth, picks it up, they'll always misrepresent it. And this is over and above objections from the people that were actually involved. And the only show that never did that was the movie that that fella that I really like, UFO Hunters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is the name of it. Now, what he tried to do is, as he represented someone who was an investigator, and he had a cynic who was a healthy cynic, a young man who was primed to ask him every question that every valid question that might ever come up about what they were doing, what they were finding, and what had been reported about it that got them interested. So it was an excellent show, and I think it could have really gone places if it had been allowed to continue. It wasn't allowed to continue, in my feeling, because it was kept pure.
So do you think that hypnotism brings out false information sometimes?
Hypnotism is only as truthful as the therapist, hypnotherapist. And like I said, whenever we're dealing with something that involves anything so close to what many people deem national security or national interest or whatever, which actually should mean the interested of a powerful group of men and women, when anything like that happens, I think that it is corrupted very carefully and given a bias away from the truth. And this is, it's no different with the abduction phenomena. And I think that whenever anybody, any hypnotherapist begins treating an abductee, that they're visited, if not already, this is set up. And they're told, you know, if you want to stay in business in your field of psychiatry, psychology, or whatever they're in, you want to stay in that field, or can get this far, you want to live, you'll do our follow-up for us. And that follow-up is actually what it says. Because I think today, in most cases of abduction, they have nothing to do with ET, and sometimes nothing to do with EBs. They're solely done by covert black ops for eugenic studies, or to help build a controllable climate for the hostile ET thesis, which they intend to use to implement the New World Order in its final days of implementation.
What did you think about the movie Signs?
I haven't seen it. Oh, that's the one. I think I have. It's the one that's made by
The crop, you know.
You're talking about Mel Gibson's. Pure bullshit.
Okay.
Pure, absolute, unadulterated bullshit.
So why is it that there is this kind of the story that develops from the abductee story, especially when it's aimed at women? They try and convince these women that they've had hybrid children, because that's another meme that is pushed and pushed and pushed, that somehow or other they've created a hybrid child, either through abductions or some other methodology. But do you know what I mean? That's another big lie that really needs to be addressed.
Well, we know that terrible things are being done to these women. They have all my sympathy, and I would never say anything to harm them or to hurt their feelings or anything. They have my sympathy, and if any of them want protection, I'll give it to them. They can come and stay with me. I'll protect them. I don't care if what I have to do to accommodate as many of them as need be, because they deserve protection. Mm-hmm. Ebies will not come around me, and neither will these shits that are representing themselves in this way. But no, these women are being abused. They're being exploited, and their lives are not their own. That's horrible. They deserve our help, our concern. And the parts of the alternative media, especially the cottage industry, are exploiting them in a different way. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And when they think they really have had these hybrid babies.
From what I've read, yeah.
I don't know who they'd be having them from, because they're certainly not having them from EBs. EBs have no genetic number. They're nothing but chunks of meat sewn together with a computer terminal. They have no personality. Ask these women, have they ever detected a personality? And that's not even in that mixture of what's going in their head during these sessions.
When I was talking to you earlier, Mark, about the group that worked on me for quite a period of time, the leader of that group was a woman who was older than me, probably in her 60s. And she told me her story. Part of her story went into depth about how she believed she'd been an abductee for a long, long time. And she told me that she'd had a child, you know. So, I mean, obviously, I don't know what was the truth and what wasn't the truth, but she came from that angle, you know, in order to suck me into this world, if you like. And whether she used that number on other women who'd had experiences that I hadn't had, who knows? But it's a mire out there. It's awful. It's really heartbreaking. And you just, how does somebody come back from that in their mind when they don't know what's really happened to them, what hasn't happened to them? I can't even comprehend it myself. I just feel for them. I really do.
I've interviewed three women on my show, and only one of them had conscious memory. They all had sightings, but only one of them really had conscious memories before the regression occurred. So it makes you really start to get suspicious that these regressions are producing memories that are not correct or not accurate or not based on reality.
Or that are placed in them.
Well, that's a possibility.
The second technology has the ability to induce false memories. They have the technology to create missing time, the missing time phenomena. And this was acquired with studies on the effects of radon gas. Radon gas will cause a person to lose time. Tell you how they found that out, because I talked with people that were involved in this. I was in Grand Junction for a while. I used to do prospect, and Grand Junction was my base. I'd go into Utah and along the Colorado River in Colorado, not the Colorado, but the Gunnison, and had claims. And one of the things that unavoidably came across, because where I operated from during the day was mostly Grand Junction Labs, which was run by a friend, John Kephart. And he was a very good chemist, and whenever I needed money or ran out of money, I'd go in there and work for him. I'd run his fire assays or do some titration or even run the atomic absorption unit, because he did a lot of water work for the oil companies. And people would come in there. They'd bring in samples, and we'd talk. And a lot of them had been old uranium miners. And there was a big uranium mill right in the middle of town back during the 50s when uranium was a big deal. The industry was booming, and so were the prospecting and the sale of claims. They were all being sold to the government. So they had people that would go out in the field. After the uranium was concentrated, it would be put in a cake, and it would be put in the sun to dry, and people would go out and turn it with these wooden paddles. Well, they'd have to go out and tell them it was lunchtime. They'd have to go out and tell them when it was break time. They'd have to go out and tell them when it was time to go home, because they thought they just got there. And that's right. That's what radon gas does to you. So there you have the missing time phenomena. Now, I'm not saying that they use radon gas to simulate abductions. What they did was, they knew that whatever part of the brain was being affected by this radon gas had to do with recoverable short-term memory. So if they could affect that part of the brain, they get the same result. So after tests and after the R&D that they did, they found a way to do it with psychotronics. And so psychotronics can remove the short-term memory of any experience. They also have a device that flashes light at a certain frequency and intensity that will knock you out, put you to sleep, bang, just like that. And in the 70s, there was a movie called The Scanners. And in that movie, the government has this hidden technology that they're using to do foul deeds upon the citizenry, and they have this device. This guy comes in, hits these people with that, and then does what he wants to, you know, kill them or take what he wants or whatever. And they had that device then, just like in Rollerball. In Rollerball, which was made even before then, in that there's a scene at a party where this young girl runs out on a balcony with a laser burst gun, handheld laser burst gun, and start shooting the trees in the distance, setting them on fire. They had one of those then.
Really? Now, how old is
that? Older than that.
That's 20 years old, isn't it?
Rollerball was made in the 70s.
So, you're saying they have like a laser burst pistol
yeah.
now?
They've had this thing since that I know of since 74. So it's earlier than that, I'm sure.
It's very interesting that we don't see that
used
anymore.
You don't see it used, but it's not been used. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's been used.
Oh, it has been used.
Mounted
where do you think
a,
it's been used
on
or
a,
when?
Simulated UFO.
Oh, didn't they have some sightings of triangle craft in the Gulf War and things like that?
They've had UFO sightings where these UFOs were decimating an enemy position in Vietnam. Yeah.
In Vietnam.
EBs.
Wow.
EBs.
That's great. You think they were EBs, or do you think they were secret government?
Well, there's no. You have to realize that, you know, Phil Schneider came in late. There were arrangements between covert black ops military and EBs back as early as Truman.
Truman. Gosh, I just had a train of thought I wanted to ask you about. And okay. The other thing I want to talk about, you know, there's the real religious crowd. They want to equate extraterrestrials and fallen angels, and that whole thing drives me crazy. Could you comment
on
that?
We have this view, a mythology, that is based on a very recent work, you know, the time of John Milton, called Paradise Lost, and that's where you get all that horse shit. I often like to kind of play with the fallen host, and you know, look at all the movies, look at all the secret societies and their malpractices that are based on John Milton's conception of a war in heaven. You know, the fallen angels firing on the gates of heaven with a cannon. And it hasn't become any more sophisticated since John Milton. And, of course, it's just like Dante gave all these righteous demigod preachers hell to believe in, lakes of fire and all this. You know, how insane is it all? How insane is it all? You know, it's hard for people, good people, that believe in the spirit, spiritual value, and things beyond the material. It's hard for them to cope without having to resort to one of these stupid examples, because they have contaminated the mind of so many people who when clarity is obtainable. But of course, you can't get it from your public school system. You can't get it from your universities. There, you know, how many people have read Edith Hamilton's mythology or The Golden Bough or anything that would help put them in a place free from all of this contamination? And that's exactly what it is. So we haven't aspired any further than Greek and Roman mythology, have we?
What you're saying is so true. What bothers me is that once these people get these locked in ideas, it's like a computer program that's caught in an endless loop. They're like in a mind prison, and they'll never be able to advance any farther in their conscious evolution.
How this is helped. When the Zionists infiltrated the fundamentalist Christians and bred this Christian Zionism, you had not just mythology, but you had mind control operating on a very high key. What you had was you convinced these people that Christ was really a Jew. And, you know, Jews are God's chosen people. The Bible tells us so. And which Bible are you referring to? You're certainly not referring to the Wycliffe Bible, that is the most studied, greatest scholarly work ever done on the scriptures in the Greek and Latin texts. Not to mention the fact that there's something, an even better source of Christ than that, called the Dead Sea Scrolls, that have been suppressed and hidden for 60 years. So, you know, let's try to really find out the truth here. And if you do, you'll find that these people are led down a primrose path that's full of mind control. If you tell people, well, the Jews are God's chosen people, so that means they are not. And of course, once you understand this, then you know that Israel has to get away from it with anything, because until they rebuild Solomon's temple, then until then, we won't have the second coming. And so, you know, the Jews, it's hands off for them, right? So these people worship Zionism. Although they can't be a Jew, what can they be? They can be a slave to Jews. They become servile to Jews, not just Jews, Zionist Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, people that began from a tradition of opportunism, people that weren't Jews until the Pope said, oh, well, owning money is heresy. loaning money, and you'll be excommunicated. And then the Inquisition will get you. So what these people do? Oh, I'm a Jew, so I can loan money. And, you know, that's how the Rothschilds got started. It's how they aspired to take over international banking. It just kept on and on and on until now. They are the IMF. They are international banking. They are the Illuminati. The Illuminati work for them. 2 million thugs and punks and criminals that you have under sway. Oh, yes, I am.
Are you familiar with Kenneth Copeland?
He's a monster.
Do you know recently
he
bought
a
$20 million
Learjet? He has a mansion here in Fort Worth out on Eagle Mountain Lake
that
will rival the Taj Mahal. He is located on an old Army Air Corps base that is bunkered with a series of tunnels that go all the way up to Carlsbad and from Carlsbad all the way to the Pacific. He is responsible for being the front for Air America since it left Mena, Arkansas, when the Clintons took the White House. Every day, Chinooks fly over my house. Just about every day. I'd say at least four times a week. Chinooks. Now there's two. They fly over my house heading out there with the heroin. He has these bikers. He has these bikers rallies. And these aren't mom and pop's bikers. These are bandidos, Hell's Angels, and so forth. They are they're distributing the heroin for him. And they're out there. They have had one incident after another. One incident where a little girl was killed. Another incident where a black helicopter that was loaned to them by the sheriff, who was Copeland's former chief of security, David Williams, loans him this helicopter to run counter-surveillance because the government was getting too close to nosing about what was going on. And so they were running counter surveillance and it crashed out there on the property. I was being watched at that time by Kenneth Copeland's son, brother, Ted Copeland, who was a narc in the Fort Worth police. And he was living right across the street from me, shacking up with a woman who ran off her husband and kids to shack up with him. And to watch me. And when that helicopter crashed, I walked over and confronted him. And he and his whatever she was to him left within 10 days. And that was the second time they'd been in that house. They'd put it on the market once before. No, I don't.
So you live pretty close to Kenneth.
Where I live is in line from where the heroin is flown, Bell Helicopter, and Kenneth Copeland's property. This old Army Air Corps base.
Now, maybe some people that listen to this later won't know this. I just want to say this. Kenneth Copeland is a very famous television evangelist, correct? He recently purchased a $20 million Citation Learjet, and I think he has an airport on his property out there that has four airplanes.
He is the front.
So you're
for
telling
Air
me
America.
He's involved.
Air
with
America brings the heroin
in
from the Golden Triangle and now Afghanistan too. This was at Mena, Arkansas. Bush Senior put it in there with Bill Clinton when Clinton was governor. Everybody in Arkansas knows that. And whenever Clinton got in the White House, they felt it incumbent to move it elsewhere. So they moved it down here, and Kenneth Copeland became the front for it. They're involved in it.
Boy, wouldn't his congregation like to know that?
I bought a trailer from one of them. And they were telling me I should join the church and that they invest in...
You did?
What did he say? What did he call it? They invest in something or other. they make investments, and they always make profits on it, and they can live there and all this other stuff. And they were moving out there, so they sold this place to me in Newark. Newark is the closest town to where he's located. It's also interesting stories about Newark.
Okay. Can you tell us a little more about this Air America? This now
it was
is
the
this,
CIA
is
during
the
Vietnamese
CIA,
War.
The NSA,
they made
or...
a deal with the Montanico, or the mountain people in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. It's called it the Golden Triangle because all this opium is. This is what those people did for a living. And so they made this deal. If you'll be friendly to our side versus the NLF and the Viet Cong, we will market your heroin. And, of course, where are they going to market it? They're going to market it in America. And that started it. And there's been plenty written about Air America.
Right.
Well, I have a book on Air America, and
I've heard
this
of
book
it before. Yeah,
you won't find
definitely.
In any list or whatever. Supposedly, it's never been published. I lived out there. I saw it.
Now, how did you find out that Kenneth Copeland was involved in all this?
Yeah, I see them fly over my house three or four times
a week.
So
you saw the helicopters
going
just
out
streaming
there.
In.
Huh? I knew people. There was a gentleman that was running his audio-video lab out there. His name's John Seidler. John Seidler was a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
And so John Seidler was married to a very pretty lady. And one of Copeland's lieutenants took her away from John. Just took her.
Mm-hmm.
And so John, of course, quit, and he started using his skills.
Wow.
I met John at meetings that I would go to in Dallas that were constitutionalist meetings, back when Bogreitz was speaking out against what was going on. Before 2000, and people were alarmed, and they were afraid there were going to be house-to-house search and seizure operations, and people were finding out about the New World Order. They were finding about a number of things, and so I would go to these meetings, and I met a lot of people that had a lot of information and had a lot of things that they could back their information up with. And so over that period of time is when I became aware of certain things that had been going on out at Carswell, certain things that had been going on out to where we're talking about. And later on, I met the man who was vying with Kenneth Copeland for that property before Kenneth Copeland got it. And he was a former Pinkerton. His name was Bill Johnson. And Bill Johnson was on his way out to sign a contract for that land. He knew the owner of it. And on the way, he had an accident, supposed automobile accident. But, of course, you know, his automobile wasn't damaged. Well,
yeah.
He lost his short-term memory and was in the hospital for about 6 weeks. And when he got out, Copeland had the land. His son, Bill Johnson, had two daughters and one son. And his son started investigating and got murdered. So and then this is interesting. Well, Bill is coming in. I was setting up a flea market. Bill
is
would come
that
in.
Right?
He was getting rid of his little spy cameras and stuff that he had used as a Pinkerton. And I was on really friendly terms with him. And so one day he comes in. He's upset. And I said, "Why are you upset?" And he says, "I keep getting these dreams." And he said, I think I know that my son was murdered by somebody. And I said, do you really want to remember, Bill? Will that make you feel better? And he said, yes, I do. And so I helped him remember. And when I did, he jumped up and he said, I'm going to see some people. I'll see you later and let you know what's going on. Well, I didn't see him for 6 weeks. And when I saw him next, his daughters brought him in. And they told me, they said he had another accident. And this time he can't even remember the streets in Fort Worth. He grew up here. And Bill was in his 60s.
Oh, my.
So I didn't do him a favor, did I? But that's, and then there are other stories. I can tell you a ton of stories. Kenneth Copeland is responsible for the murder of five people I know. Kenneth Copeland, his thugs kidnapped my wife at the time, God. Little German girl. And she was gone over that night. And when she came back, she was never the same. We broke up. And she would call me up in the middle of the night after we were separating and while we were getting a divorce to try to tell me about these dreams. And these dreams involved, she'd be put on something that was spinning and there would be these colored lights. And I said, you know, I'm familiar with that device. And she said, what is it? And I said, it divorces you of all emotion. She said, oh, really? And I said, yeah, that's why you don't. You don't have any feeling for me, and you don't have any feeling for anybody you're going to come in contact with ever again. Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Mind control is the only fucking thing they spend money on.
My goodness, what kind of technology
except
is
except war.
Really?
Don't you think they're going to have some things?
You know, James, you learned,
well,
you know so
know
much. I mean, I don't know how you got
let me tell you the scenario.
That's crazy, man. It's just crazy. Goodness sakes.
We were starting, my wife and I had a little bit of a stormy relationship, and but things were starting to get better. And so she loved to fish, and I was carrying mail at the time, and I came home. We had planned on going fishing over the weekend. This was on a Friday. So I come home. She's nowhere to be found. Night comes and goes. I go, so I'm getting ready to go to work and or go into town. It was, I think it was my day off or Sunday. And she shows up and starts accusing me of messing around on her. And so, and the fact that I'm always there, and all of a sudden she's gone for 2 nights. No calls, nothing, you know, out of the blue. And so I slapped her, which I regret. But it just, before I even thought, I slapped her. And she jumped up and ran off, and then she would call me.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, never discuss what happened or anything else. And so she went through a lot of changes, and, of course, she wasn't the same person. And we never got back together again. While we were going through divorce, I would go down to this little bar that was down just below where Kenneth Copeland's. It's walking distance away. And there's a slough comes in there from Eagle Mountain Lake. And a little creek used to be there called Squaw Creek. A lot of stories about the area, but there was a bar there. And I'd go in there and have a few beers and play poker. I mean, not poker, but pool, shoot pool. And so one day I was in there, and this guy was saying, didn't you have a wife that was German? I said, yeah. And he says, you know, I saw her fishing one day over there where this bridge was. That the enough of that slough came in there that you could catch crappie there. And I said, yeah, that'd probably be her. And he said, well, she was there, and then this limousine pulls up, and two men get out and just grab her and put her in the back seat and leave everything, leave her her car, fishing rods, everything. And he said, after about 2 hours, that limousine comes back, and they pick up all of her stuff, and one of them drives her car. And I said, you ever see those guys before? And they say, yeah, they work for Kenneth Copeland. So I tried to get him to figure out when that was. And he said, well, it was on a Friday. And that's all he could tell me, great, put it in the month and or whatever, but we couldn't get an exact time. And I asked other people, they hadn't noticed. So, you know, that's how I kind of extrapolate what happened to her, because we were on very good terms before all that happened. Well, I have a history, and of course,
how bizarre,
people know, and I've had people come by my house and ask, sit down and ask me about things that could have only had access to my military record, and I know that a couple of these young men were CIA. And the reason that I know that is something that I told them became a big part of something that happened later. So, and again, that's an extrapolation, of course, not absolute proof of it. But I don't believe in proof on this planet. Proof is something that that liars use to try to tangle up truth seekers. Hmm. And slow them down.
The Kenneth Copeland stuff. Yeah, I've heard bits of it. I've heard bits of it.
Myrit, have you heard this story before?
It doesn't surprise me.
Bits of. And the only reason I brought it up is I recently found a little interesting clip on YouTube about Kenneth Copeland and his Learjets and how he's being investigated by this, that, or other group from the government or whatever. And I played a few clips just
God
of him, just because he's such
me $200 and
make such an exaggerated
make a,
example.
A prayer of, offering, and it'll be returned to you 10 times.
Or whatever. And I had no idea.
Let me tell you this. I went down to see an agency of the government in the federal building here in Fort Worth.
Exactly.
To talk about Kenneth Copeland. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Didn't contradict me. Didn't act like what I was saying was wrong or anything. They just acted like, I really don't want to hear this. So I had a customer when I was in the flea market, a guy that was an avid collector of Mexican Revolution memorabilia. And I had sold him a lot of what he had. And he was head of the, at the time, he was head of the tourist bureau here in Fort Worth. He had been the city manager of Fort Worth. Name was Doug Harmon. And I said, Doug, what do you think about Kenneth Copeland and what he's doing out there? And he says, we don't like it, but the feds will have to deal with it. And when I was going through a divorce, I showed up for a hearing. It was just a procedural hearing. And it was in a county court. And this bailiff... when I walked in, this couple was leaving, and this bailiff shook his head, and he said, you'd be surprised how many times drugs have something to do with why people are here. And I said, yeah, that's my case too. And I said, you ever heard of this little church out on the Jacksboro Highway? And he says, yeah, I know all about it. He says, it'll take the, and this is what he said, the same thing Doug Harmon said, it'll take the feds to clean that up. Hell, the feds are doing it. Oh, man, you'd be surprised how many times I've had it out with feds, FBI, ATF, DEA, because they all, they're all so full of it. They know, so you know, if they don't know, they're cannon fodder for the next exercise. That's the way it is. I probably saved several lives of DEA, FBI, and ATF.
The next exit.
Well, I'm talking about the siege in the Davis Mountains that my ex-wife and a former friend of mine were involved in.
You said the next exercise. What do you mean by that?
Where they intended to kill them all, and because I called in and said, you know, don't kill anybody, and I'll keep quiet about what I know, and if you'll talk to Agent so-and-so, he'll tell you that I know a lot. That was a big deal. Sometimes if you want to read about it, just type Siege in the Davis Mountains into any search engine and see what you get. The woman is my ex-wife, my last ex-wife, Evelyn. She sometimes go by Evelyn McLaren, which is the name of this this former friend. And it's, or sometimes she'll go by Evelyn Horick, whatever. Frame of mind she's in at the time. When you are,
it's isn't it kind of strange that your ex-wives get involved
in the shoes of Alex Jones,
crazy,
the shoes of David Icke,
bizarre circumstances,
shoes of a couple of other people I won't name because they are alternative media sensitive. They get to you through your women. And if they don't get through to you through your women, they get rid of the women. At least from you. They're vindictive. They're vindictive. I think that that former colleague of his.
What do you think
that
of?
He tried to ruin because the guy asked him, you know, is
what do you think of Alex Jones?
Is your wife your Zionist handler? And Alex Jones went after him tooth and nail, put him out of the business. Uh huh. I think so. Yeah.
Was that Mark?
No,
Price,
I don't think he has support. I think he has one of their monarchs.
So you're thinking Alex Jones maybe has some support from the Zionists.
And he doesn't ever, you know, all that he goes on about. How many times does he take aim at Israel and Zionism? Huh? And, of course, you know, if I was really concerned about the biggest, gravest travesty on the planet, which would be Gaza, I would be really alarming people about that. And he is, you know, Bill Cooper was right when he said that Alex Jones is an alarmist. And, you know, when you're really trying to get something done, the boy who cried wolf is just a little antithetical to getting it done, isn't it? No, just enough to sell himself.
Yeah, I've always thought it's strange the way he's
people
just
think
always
that
just trying
he is
to stir people up
the
and never really.
He's
I mean,
all
he doesn't
that they
focus
need
on
for
so
their
much
information, you see.
But just getting.
So that's all you get, right? That's what they call a gatekeeper. Yeah, and I think he was Bill Hicks. I don't believe in that much coincidence.
Do you think the elite
comedian,
have put him
the
in
comedian.
Place?
They have the same face. They have the same teeth.
He was.
They have Yeah.
Bill Hicks, explain. You lost me there.
One. It's kind of like when you're talking about Shakespeare.
Oh.
And Philip Marlowe. One pops up, and the other disappears. Yeah. Right. Well, in Shakespeare's case, Christopher Marlowe. I said Philip Marlowe. I mean Christopher Marlowe, and Shakespeare are the same man. And that's been proven by computer analysis of the last play Christopher Marlowe wrote and the first play Shakespeare wrote. The computer says the same man wrote both. Yeah. Yeah. They're perfectly capable of that. He was dying of pancreatic cancer.
So you're saying that
and they told the poor bastard
changed
that,
the identity
we can
of this
keep you from dying. We
Bill
have
Hicks.
Second technology that'll save you. But you have to do this for us. And we will throw in a monarch butterfly. That's what I think. Now, I am more than extrapolating. I am reaching. But that's what I think. No. He just,
very
you know, he wanted to live.
Idea.
No, they haven't changed.
So
haven't
Alex Jones
they may,
has
he
been
made a bargain with
a victim
the devil
of MK
to live,
Ultra,
and he's
then,
keeping
right?
his part of the bargain. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does.
So,
what did he do? He went after Bill Cooper. If there
so
is
he knows
anybody.
About what you're saying.
Premier. In an alternative media that I would trust, it's Bill Cooper, who is now dead. Bill Cooper didn't have any agenda other than the truth. The truth. And I know that he was involved with disinformation. Everybody is. I am. Everybody is. Snowden is. When Snowden walked out of the NSA, he grabbed everything that wasn't nailed down he could carry. And with it was disinformation. It wasn't his disinformation. It is what that they use on their own agents. That way they can determine who's leaking anything that a whistleblower puts out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that he's just.
Do you think the elite have put
I think
Alex Jones
keeps it
in
contained
place
to certain
in order
things
to
that are
potentially
permissible,
stir up
certain
a
things
civil
that are not
war?
Too damaging, but are you know, of interest enough that they stir up controversy, but they're not going to be resolved. That and then we'll go to the next thing or whatever. You know, he's a gatekeeper. Well, a gatekeeper is someone that keeps people in
a frame
of mind.
So he's kind of a distraction to the public?
Yeah, this may be true or that may be true, but we'll never know. And all this and, you know, well, yeah, there's some bad things that are going on at Bohemia Grove, but we don't know for sure that they're actually sacrificing babies. No, we don't know that for sure. Oh, they just burning the bonfire in front of a 60-foot owl, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Many of them. Most of the published ones.
Are there gatekeepers in the UFO community?
I'm somewhat of a ufologist myself, and I could
can
write
you
a book
elaborate
on
that.
On ufology that has a lot of firsthand direct information in it, it'd never be published. It doesn't matter how good it was or how hard I researched or how the effort that I made for quality and produced a proofread copy, it doesn't matter. It would not be published. But then some shit that some idiot like Jerome Clark would, he's published 5 or 6 books. And they're all shit. He's a little pinhead that said, yeah, I was a protege. Get this, a protege of John Keel.
Yeah, I've often wondered. It seems.
But then I found out that John Keel made things up. BS. Look, Jerome Clark makes things up. John Keel would go out into the field and he would ask witnesses and people that had experienced very, very close encounters. He would ask them firsthand and listen to what they had to say, not put words into their mouth and direct the interview like Clark does and 90% of all the other so-called published cottage industry ufologists. Why hasn't ufology gone anywhere in 60 years? That's why. Mr. Hynek was given a position when he took over Blue Book.
What do you think of J. Allen Hynek?
He was very interested, and he visited my great uncle. And he really knew that there was a connection between what my great uncle found and ufology. And he was as honest as the government would allow him to be. He knew that there had been men killed for varying from the strict confines of a security oath, and he wasn't going to be one. So as far as Hynek concerned is, he was a mixed bag. I think he was as good and honest as he was allowed to be. But still, he was at best a gatekeeper. No. Jacques Vallée found a couple of things out that other ufologists have not.
I was never that impressed.
Found
with,
useful,
but
they should
Vallée.
Have. Just like American ufologists avoid ever discussing Polaris. Polaris is the biggest UFO event in history. And, yeah, Polaris, Brazil, in the 70s. And it went on for almost 3 months.
That's
and
Brazil?
While it was going on, a military detachment was sent down. They the officer in charge drew these vehicles. They watched the base they were using on another remoter island. And this entire village of Polaris, every single person in it practically, was probed. They weren't abducted. They were probed. And even the doctor, there was a lady doctor there who was, and she thought these people were going through hysteria. I mean, there's no explanation why they would. But that's what she thought until she was probed. And they'd be walking out at sunset or night, and this light would hit them and just freeze them. And they would be probed. Sometimes a little biopsy sample would be taken from them. But it's good that you ask, because I'll tell you. These were ETs from very, very far away.
Why were
they
ETs
knew that Earth
probing
was,
these people?
A confused mass of sentient beings and didn't understand why and wanted to find out, see if they could do anything about it. They weren't members of the local extended community, but another. And so they came in and did a precise job, took the time that it needed, and one of them contacted the lieutenant and told him, we don't mean any harm. And this lieutenant, many years later, just about 3 years ago, came forward. And he contacted these Brazilian ufologists, gave them all the materials that he had, all the information he knew of, told them about that contact, and gave them drawings. And this caused the Brazilian government and military to release all their files to Brazilian ufologists. There has been disclosure in Brazil, and that's why these little pinhead ufologists in America don't want to recognize it, because the work has been done for them elsewhere. And their egos and their cottage industry interests of making money would suffer. They are not interested in the truth any more than the people hiding it.
It is a weird situation. Those people, in ufology,
you
right
take
now.
Not in Brazil.
It to me, this the idea of the getting disclosure from unique. Our government is so strange.
But
because
in
the
United
government
States,
is so corrupt
there have been
right
people
now.
Murdered. There have been lives ruined. There has been one shenanigan after another pulled on experiencers and abductees and witnesses. And so, you know, if there were disclosure, there would be so many people caught up in criminal charges that, you know, the list, you can draw up a big enough list in 3 days. That's the kind of criminal activity has been involved in suppressing the truth, and it has been an ongoing thing, and not just in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, NATO. NATO has been the warehouse, the international scene warehouse, that most of this is integrated through. And there was a sergeant that I went to hear one time. He was a master sergeant, and he had been involved with NATO, and he had found out a number of things, a number of procedures, processes, protocols that were used by NATO for recovery of vehicles, of ET vehicles, or EB vehicles, rather, because very, very seldom do ETs crash. And if they do crash, they make every effort to recover their people, and not like EBs. EBs don't give a damn. Because after all, it just makes some more.
Mm-hmm. Well, James Myrid, I really appreciate this conversation. It's been fascinating. I'm going to have to break now. I'm going to go ahead and save this.
That's fine with
save
me.
This off, and I'll put this up okay. on. Blog talk if you guys
you.
Don't mind, and then the listeners can pull this down and listen to it later. All right, guys, thanks so much. I appreciate it. So I'll go ahead and